as we come to the completion of yet another week of this Paschal tide of the holy season of Easter, the ordinance today suggests, if not command, that on this day we celebrate a special Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And of course, the Mass that we celebrate, since this is her shrine and our shrine, is the Mass of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, whose feast is on August the 22nd. And these readings are most beautiful. Of course, the reading from the Gospel of St. John, we know it pretty much by heart. And it was at the cross where she stood faithful and steadfast with St. John and the other holy women, including her relative, St. Mary of Cleophas, the wife of St. Joseph of Cleophas, and mother of St. John Mark, the evangelist, of St. Simon and Judas and Joseph, who were regarded as the brethren of the Lord because they were his cousins. They stood there as they watched the Lord of heaven and earth suffer horribly and bleed to death on the holy gibbet of the cross for our salvation. And it is on that same throne of the cross, because it is his throne. It is not the symbol of defeat. It is a symbol of victory, something which the heretics cannot understand. They think that we are obsessed with suffering and Calvary, whereas they do not understand that it is this suffering and this Calvary that bring about the salvation of those who will be saved. Not all, the many, but not all shall be saved. And so therefore it is there from that throne that our Lord commends unto us, his mother, and commends us to her as her sons and daughters, her children. Beyond that, in the first reading, which is so beautifully prophetic, one of the most beautiful readings in the scriptures, and it has to do with the Blessed Mother herself. There's no doubt, there's no shadow of a doubt that it is speaking about her. She is in the garden of the church. She is the vine that has brought forth a pleasant odor. And of course, as we mentioned yesterday, the church is our Lord's garden, the garden of God. And in the garden of God, there are many beautiful flowers. Those are the saints. And hopefully, we also will be among those flowers and not among the weeds that are gathered up and thrown out to be burnt in the eternal fires of hell. And so she is the principal one that gives the odor of sanctity, a pleasant odor. Her flowers, she says, are the fruit of honor and riches. I am the mother of fair love. And our Lord is fair love. Mary is the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thus she is the mother of God. And of fear, holy fear, and knowledge and holy hope, of all the virtues, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth, because she is the mother of truth, Jesus Christ, the life, the way, and the truth. Come over to me if you wish to join in this garden, if you wish to join to Jesus on the cross and at the resurrection, then we must join her. We must hold on to the hem of her garments, to her hand, and she will guide us to the eternal realms of Jesus Christ, her Son. And she is indeed the flavors, because all of man is saved, not just his soul. And thus, we speak of odor, we speak of music, oftentimes, not here, but oftentimes, the hearing. And we speak of taste, the taste buds. My spirit is sweet above honey. And mine inheritance, that is salvation, is above honey and the honeycomb. This utmost of sweetness. And so, her memory, her reality, because that is what memory is in the sacred liturgy, the reality of that which was, is, and ever shall be, is be for all generations, unto everlasting generations. Now, while we are here on earth, we realize that things are very imperfect, and we are very imperfect. And so, therefore, when we have a taste of the sweetness of that which Christ gives us through and from our mother, his mother, when we eat of her fruits, we desire more. We are hungry for more. And that's the way it is in this life. We are always hungry for more because we can never be satiated, satisfied completely in this life. And they that drink of her virtues and of her holiness, shall always be thirsty because we can never have enough. And of course, this happens too in a different way, in a lower way, with those whom we love. If one loves a person, we can never have enough of them. Absence is horrible, is sad, is devastating sometimes. And so we can never have enough of the food and drink of life everlasting. And then something which should encourage every single pope, bishop, and priest, though I fear that it has not totally, but many yes, and hopefully I myself, they that explain me shall have life everlasting. And as we approach the years when we will have to render an account to God of our life, we hope that this is true for ourselves too. They that explain me shall have life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today, in addition to this, and of course there's many feasts, and I was looking forward to tomorrow, too. Tomorrow is the feast of the great Bavarian Franciscan saint, St. Conrad of Parsham, whose incorrupt body is venerated in the Basilica of St. Anne in Altötting in Bavaria, the favorite shrine of our late Pontiff Benedict XVI of happy memory, Our Lady of Altötting, in the Church of the Franciscans there, under the main altar, rests the body of St. Conrad of Parsham, who could be considered the Jean Vianney of Germany, for he spent many, many, many hours hearing the confessions of the faithful. But today also is a very special day. Today is the birthday of my spiritual mother, Reverend Mother Mary Angelica of the Annunciation, who was born on this day so many years ago. And thus, because of Saturday, because of the Blessed Mother, and because of her, I decided to wear today vestments, which I wear very seldom. They're very precious. They were made for me by Reverend Mother, and they were a gift to me on my 25th anniversary, which we celebrated. Many of us from this parish went up to the monastery and to the shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hansville and had a wonderful and glorious celebration there. And these were the first time I wore these vestments. And this is the latest time, and hopefully not the last time, that I will wear them, to the honor and glory of the risen Lamb of God, which is on the front, and of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to whom we belong totally, as St. John Paul II stated in his motto, Totus tuus, all thine. In nomine Patris et Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen.